Welcome to the Bruce Siski Show. Follow the Bruce Siski Show on Twitter to interact anytime. Got something on your mind? You can text Bruce during the show by using the short code 84454. You're listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
It is a Friday morning. We approach 10:15. Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. Great to have you along. Coming up in about, 15-ish minutes, thereabouts, Brad Schlossman, Grand Forks Herald, TheRinkLive.com. We go live to St. Paul and the site of the NCHC Frozen Faceoff at Xcel Energy Center this weekend. Tonight and tomorrow, semis are today starting at 4, and then the championship at 7:30. Tomorrow we'll kind of talk about some of the pairwise permutations on this weekend, the impacts that these games will have on exactly how many NCHC teams make the field for the NCAA tournament. That coming up in about, as I say, 15 or 20 minutes or so. Before we get there, a couple of things. Darian Goats from UMD does win the NCHC Sportsmanship Award. I guess I don't really know the criteria for that one. Seems pretty self-explanatory in a lot of ways. The league citing Goats' work off the ice with the Duluth Wild Special Hockey Program, which he's a big part of, as well as his character on the ice. 37 games this year. Goats played in all 37, had 6 assists, and at least as of now, the swan song of his Bulldog career. We'll find out at some point if there's any chance in returning for that fifth year of eligibility. He's the fourth Bulldog to win this award since the NCHC came into a play in 2013, Colby Roth in 2020, Carson Kuhlman in 2018, Cal Dukowski in 2016 were the others. Some major awards last night. NCHC Player of the Year, no surprise, Jackson Blake, who set the conference point record for a single season with 37 in 24 games. He's the Player of the Year. Zeev Bouyim from Denver, outstanding defenseman, is the Rookie of the Year. And Colorado College goalie Caden Embarico wins Goalie of the Year. Head coach Chris Mayotte of the Tigers wins the Herb Brooks Coach of the Year award. Hats off to Terry Leahy. I think he's the first radio guy to win the NCHC Media Excellence Award. Extremely well-deserved. Terry's been on the mic for every Omaha game basically since the program's inception. I think he missed one game because of a family illness. That's it. Otherwise, it's been all Terry all the time for over 1,000 games. He hit his 1,000-game milestone earlier this season. Omaha marked that, I think, the week before we were down there in early February. Terry's a salt-of-the-earth individual, one of the nicest people that I've had a chance to meet in my 19 years covering college hockey, and really happy to see him get that award well-deserved for him and his family, and the Omaha hockey family, which, I mean, quite frankly, no better time. I know they, you know, he called his 1,000th game this year, and that's probably part of why he got this award, and that's great. Could have gotten it 10 years ago, would have been just as fitting, but it's extremely fitting that they give Terry Leahy that award the day before Omaha plays its first ever game in the NCHC Frozen Faceoff this afternoon against North Dakota at 4 o'clock. The Mavericks are in a conference tournament semifinal for the first time since 2001. They have players that weren't even born the last time this happened. It's pretty incredible to think about that. They'll play the early game, St. Cloud State, Denver, the late game at 7:30 this evening at Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul. We'll talk plenty of baseball next week with the season kicking off for real. Twins on Thursday in Kansas City. We'll get Brandon Warren, Access Twins. I think it's either Wednesday or Thursday. We're trying to narrow that down on the radio show next week, and we'll talk all things Twins. And you know, we had Brandon on at some point during the offseason. We kind of discussed the payroll issue and the fact they were slashing, and they were, the front office was kind of pinching some pennies here in the offseason coming off of the run that they had last year. You'd like to see them go for it, and they're not really doing that. And people are disappointed, and I understand that. And they're even more disappointed because the one thing that the Twins did, the one big move that they made, was trading Jorge Polanco to Seattle for a package of players that included Anthony DeSclafani, who was brought here specifically to be the Twins' fifth starter. in 2024. Now the word comes out that DeSclafani might miss the entire season, which means Louis Varland, who we had here at Twins Caravan in January, nice enough guy, and I think he's a talented pitcher, but there's probably a reason why the Twins wanted Louis Varland to start the year either A in the bullpen or B in AAA. And that's that they may not think he's ready to be a full-time starting pitcher yet. Now he's going to have to be. They don't have much of a choice. Because DeSclafani, who was going to be the fifth starter, instead likely to miss the season. Aaron Gleeman wrote about it this morning at The Athletic, and I read it, and the thing that he brought up, and how this all ties to these payroll issues is this. So the Twins make the trade Polanco for a bunch of players, including DeSclafani, and they get Seattle to eat eight of the $12 million that DeSclafani is making this year. So the Twins are only paying him four. Well, $4 million, as Aaron Gleeman points out at The Athletic this morning, I'll let you guys go read that if you subscribe at theathletic.com to get the full perspective, but he points out in there, and we'll talk more about it with Brandon on Thursday, you know, $4 million is not going to buy you a very good starting pitcher in this day and age. Michael Lorenzen, who was not a great starting pitcher, just signed a $4.5 million deal for 2024 with the champion Texas Rangers. He wanted a lot more than that in free agency and couldn't get it anywhere. And he had to take what he could get to get into a camp and have any chance of being ready close to opening day. It was what it was for him. Well, the Twins probably, I mean, Lorenzen's probably better than DeSclafani, but they both have a pretty bad injury history. And it's not like Lorenzen, yes, he was an all-star last year, but that was by necessity in Detroit because the Tigers are terrible. And needed somebody to go to the All-Star game. Reality is he's not that good. He's a sub-average major league starting pitcher, making $4.5 million. The Twins weren't going to do a lot better than DeSclafani on the open market. They just weren't. The fact that they went and got a pitcher that had a bit of an injury history and that's coming back to bite them, that's a whole separate issue. I know that they've got a past here with Sam Dyson and Tyler Malley most recently. But I'm not going to hold the Dyson one. I'm not going to hold against the Twins because if I remember right, Dyson was a guy that may have been damaged goods when they got him from San Francisco, but San Francisco didn't tell him. So the Twins had no idea, and the medicals just didn't show what the current issue was. Malley has no real notable injury history, and all of a sudden pops up with an arm problem last year, a shoulder issue, and misses almost the entire season. That to me is not the Twins' fault. DeSclafani, okay, now you can, and Chris Paddock the same way. You acquire pitchers that have a known injury history, a documented injury history, and then it comes back to bite you. Now I don't feel so bad. 10:22, Brad Schlossman, Grand Forks Herald in a little bit from the Frozen Faceoff in St. Paul, Bruce Siski Show on KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota football after this.
When we say that Cub Milk is the freshest in town, we mean it. Less than 48 hours from farm to store fresh. We guarantee 7 days or more of freshness. It all starts with local dairy farmers who take great care in making sure all the cows are happy and healthy. We support local farm families 365 days a year. And that makes our milk even more delicious. So you always get the freshest milk and the biggest smiles.
The Gopher football team opened spring practice yesterday and will have another workout on campus tomorrow. We heard from head coach P.J. Fleck talk about his new quarterback Max Brosmer in yesterday's report. And in today's report, we hear more about the new signal caller.
We talked about how we needed a quarterback to walk in here and connect the entire football team. And that was going to be a tall task for anybody. But you can tell in 2.5 short months, this team is completely connected to him, has leaned on him, and has looked to him for guidance. And that's a credit to our players, but also credit to him that he's been able to do that in such a short amount of time. And it's real. It's authentic. He's a special young man. We look forward to him actually throwing some footballs here coming up because I haven't had a chance to really see that except for Pro Day. I got to see that. But other than that, you know, we're really excited getting to some football with him. And it's like having another coach on the field because this isn't like having a freshman come in here that's really talented. He has all the experience that you want. That doesn't promise you anything, but it gives you a better chance. And his work ethic is through the roof, really has taken this this team probably farther, quicker than maybe expected.
That's Gopher head coach PJ Fleck. The Gophers will host an open practice on April 11th for fans to come and watch. For more info on Gopher football, go to gophersports.com. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
Dave Ramsey.
Pretty easy.
Afternoons on KDAO.
10:29 our time. Tony's got you on the forecast. It's going to snow. Might snow a lot. I'm just saying. We'll set you up for what's coming up on the radio show next week. But first, let's get through this week first. Mr. Craig will be in the half hour to usher in the weekend. Gratch, Lospin, Grand Forks, Harold will be here shortly to usher in the NCHC Frozen Faceoff in St. Paul after CBS News on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
Sometimes I feel like everyone I work with is an idiot. And by sometimes, I mean all times. All the time. Every of the time.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAO.
10:34, Monday. Assuming that we're, not buried. Because who knows? Alan Horton, Timberwolves Radio Network. Off the Sunday night game versus Golden State. That's a 6 p.m. tip Sunday here on KDAL. We'll talk to Alan on Monday. Also next week, Matthew Caller, Purple Insider on the crazy Vikings offseason. Brandon Warren, Locked On Twins. We preview opening day in Kansas City on Thursday afternoon. Plus, we'll preview NCAA hockey and a whole lot more. Joining us now, speaking of college hockey, from the Grand Forks Herald, he's in St. Paul for the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. Rach Lospin, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bruce.
How are things in the capital city?
Snowy. It snowed quite a bit last night. Was a little bit surprised to see that coming down last night. It's been kind of an interesting winter with not much of that, actually. But
it was 50.
Here it comes in late March.
It was 50 the day of the Saturday game between the Bulldogs and Fighting Hawks in Grand Forks. It was 50 that day in Grand Forks. That should never happen during hockey season, but trust me, I did not complain when it did.
No, it was a beautiful February afternoon.
I definitely
enjoyed that. Maybe it's winter's coming right now.
Yeah, it looks like at least for I don't know about you guys out west, but we're supposed to get slammed pretty good. Looks like Sunday, Monday, and so I'll be hunkering down as much as I can on the back end of the weekend. But first, we've got college hockey conference championships to get through, and that begins with the semifinals in three leagues today, including the NCHC down in St. Paul. Frozen Faceoff media day was yesterday, Brad. Omaha is there for the first time ever. It is Omaha's first conference tournament semifinal since 2001. There are players on this team that weren't born the last time Omaha played in a conference tournament semifinal. Here are the Mavericks to take on North Dakota. Decided underdogs, I'm sure, later on today, the 4 o'clock game in St. Paul. Your thoughts on seeing Omaha here finally for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of surprising if you think about it. It's not like we're talking about a team that's finished last place 15 straight years. I think that's the shocking part, that the Mavericks haven't been able to get through, because they have not been finishing it in last. They haven't been finishing in second to last. This has been kind of a mid-standings team. And for whatever reason, the Mavs just had not been able to break through. Finally, they did it out in Colorado Springs, and they were able to get here. But this has been a pretty good team over the years, and they're playing, one of their best stretches that I can remember here ever since late January. They've been pretty hot. They've been exceptional in one-goal games, 16-2 in one-goal games. That's just an unheard-of statistic. They've been great in overtimes. They've won like 7 overtime games this season. It almost reminds me of the year Minnesota Duluth won the national title. The Bulldogs won in just an insane amount of overtime games that year. Experience winning close games can help, because at this time of year, a lot of games are close games.
Well, and a lot of the thing with Omaha is, yes, they've played a lot of overtime games, but you mentioned their record in one-goal games at 16-2. And a lot of those one-goal games never made it to overtime. They were decided in regulation. They were decided, you know, as some would say, the purists would say, real hockey. Well, guess what? Omaha's 9-1 in one-goal games that end in regulation. That's even to me, that's even crazier than 16-2 overall.
Yeah, I mean, you just those are the type of numbers you rarely see. So Omaha's able to do that. Why? I think part of it is an anomaly. I just, you know, I think sometimes sports have those in there. I think having a guy like Nolan Sullivan who can win all those big draws at the end of games can help you maintain a lead when all of a sudden it's a one-goal game and the opponent has an offensive zone faceoff and the Mavericks can throw out Nolan Sullivan and his 60% faceoff percentage. That's a really good recipe for maintaining one goal leads is puck possession. And when you win faceoffs at the rate Omaha does, the Mavericks have a lot of puck possession at the end of games and start with the puck and make other teams go 200 feet on them. And third, you know, right now, Simon Lakosi is giving them excellent goaltending. And I think that's a big piece too.
You mentioned Nolan Sullivan, 60% on faceoffs. And by the way, if his skate blade's busted or, you know, he can't, if for some reason he can't hop the boards to take a key faceoff, they've got Ty Mueller, who's 55% on faceoffs. So it's not it's not like there's a massive drop off there.
Yes. Yeah. That's a terrific 1-2 punch. Omaha is deep at center. They've got veteran guys, too. This is an older team, older, stronger, physically strong team. And I think that's something that has been good for Mavericks this season. So they're locked into the NCAA tournament now. Really great run at the end of the year. I think at one point after Christmas, they were 24th in the pairwise. And right now, the Mavericks are 11. And you don't see teams rise that much in the pairwise usually after Christmas. So just an impressive ending to the season for Omaha.
Yeah, just to put that in perspective, Omaha was either right by or right behind UMD at Christmas in the pairwise. The Bulldogs were pretty steady throughout the second half and they're 30th right now. They stayed between 25th and 30th pretty much the entire second half of the season. And Omaha made that jump all the way to 11th, and that's where they sit right now. As you mentioned, they're a lock here to be the at least the third NCHC team in. And I don't know if you saw or not earlier this week with the pairwise predictor that College Hockey News has. I finagled that thing, Brad, to get a 6. I had 6 NCHC teams in the field on Monday, and I'm gonna try to find how I did that because I was able to find a way to get St. Cloud, Western, and Colorado all into the tournament without bumping one of them out. Now they weren't in by much, I promise you that, but they were in. So if there's 4, 5, or 6 NCHC teams, and there's 3 that are all around the same area in the pairwise. That's a whole issue for the committee, and you and I both know people on this committee who might be going through it this weekend.
Yeah, the teams and the way it's setting up right now, not great to make this easy on the committee.
No.
There are going to be some people who are upset at them probably for the brackets, but they're in a no-win situation if things play out like they could. With Denver and North Dakota potentially being the 3 and the 4, that would put them as a 1 seed, and you could potentially have a couple of NCHC teams matching up in their region. So, they can probably move a few things around, but, you know, there are going to be people mad at them for moving things around too. So, so they're in a no-win situation if things play out a certain way. And it's very possible that they do. So seeing the NCAA tournament, this is one I believe where Saturday night we're all going to come up with our projected brackets. And, you know, sometimes our educated guesses are a little better than others.
Yeah, yeah.
But this year, I don't know. I don't know if this is a little more challenging. Sometimes things are more cut and dry. This year, definitely not.
Brash Lossman, Grand Forks Herald, TheRinkLive.com, our guest. So the one thing I found, the scenario where six teams get in out of the NCHC. St. Cloud's 11th, Omaha's 12th, Western's 13th, and CC is 14th. And then your auto bids, RIT 15th, and Bemidji is 16th. The only thing that makes it maybe a little bit easier on the committee is Denver drops to being a 2 seed in this scenario, so they can move those teams around if they have to. They can move around 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 if they have to, and they can move around the two NCHC teams on the 3 seed line. But there was also a scenario I found yesterday where Michigan State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan are 7, 8, 9, and 10, which means they all have to move around because you can't have those teams playing each other in round one.
Yeah. These are some of the challenges that they're going to be looking at this weekend. Of course, we'll see where the seeds end up falling.
Yeah.
There can still be a little bit of movement here that might make it easier on them to select first-round matchups in sites. But, I think we've all looked at this bracket from about 3 weeks out where we saw how this was starting to set up, and we're thinking, oh, boy, they're going to have some tough decisions to make. So, I'm glad I'm not on the committee this year.
I'm with you. Schloss, there have been years, it feels like, in this NCHC frozen faceoff where the top seeds have really struggled, have not had a lot of straight chalk into the semis, into the final. I know in 19, UMD and St. Cloud were 1-2 and made the championship, but it feels like there haven't been a lot of years where one faced two in this championship game. What do you, you were there yesterday at Media Day. What do you see the mindset being of North Dakota and Denver, the top seeds heading into these semifinals tonight?
Well, you know, I think North Dakota, first of all, the last time UND played Omaha a couple weeks ago, the Mavericks swept that series. That was right after UND had won the Penrose. And in covering the UND's six Penroses, there has definitely been a Penrose hangover every single year. So that one I felt was a little bit easier to predict. Tonight's game, a little bit harder to predict. Now North Dakota is trying to win another trophy. On top of that, I think UND is much more likely to be in Sioux Falls with a victory today. If UND wins today, it locks up a number one seed, I believe. I have not been able to find a scenario where UND wins and then ends up as a two.
You're right, I think.
If UND loses, almost every scenario drops UND to a two. Now, there are a few I found where UND could lose to Omaha and be a one, but we're talking, 5% chance. And right now, Omaha, very likely a three. So if UND wants to be in Sioux Falls, it probably needs to win today's game, and I think they know that. So that might be a little bit of a motivating factor. I just think even all these teams are motivated. You want to win a trophy. In the night game, last year, Denver came into this weekend extremely banged up. If you remember, we were wondering, Magnus Krona didn't finish a game against DC. They had several injuries. And now they still do. Massimo Rizzo is highly doubtful for this weekend, according to David Carl. But Carter King might be back, and he's the second-line center who had a great year. So that could help Denver a little bit. On the other side, St. Cloud State playing for the season. If the Huskies lose tonight, season's over. If they win tonight, their chances of getting into the NCAA tournament increase exponentially, and they could still do it without winning the tournament.
Yep. Yeah, they could. I've seen a couple scenarios. In fact, I engineered one of them this week when I was nerding out on the pairwise predictor. I did engineer a scenario where they don't win the league and they still get in. In fact, the one I just repeated to you was six teams getting in. St. Cloud State is not the auto bid in that scenario. So it can happen. Is it likely? No, but it can.
Yeah, and St. Cloud State fans will want North Dakota to win that first semi.
Yeah.
The scenarios I ran, the St. Cloud State's chances of getting in as an at-large are much better if the loss is to North Dakota instead of Omaha. So We're going to have some weird things at the tournament. We're going to see St. Cloud State fans potentially cheering for North Dakota. We're going to see Colorado College is going to be huge Denver fans.
Yep.
The CC really needs Denver to win that game. That would be a huge blow to CC's hopes if St. Cloud State wins that game. So it's going to be an interesting frozen faceoff.
Cats and dogs and all that happening this weekend in St. Paul. Denver, St. Cloud, I should say, it's interesting because they got swept at home by Denver just a few weeks ago, and it wasn't close in either game. But I remember talking to Brett Larson about it, and he felt like his group played pretty well in that Saturday game that they lost 7-2. And they just, Denver gets a couple early bounces. They're up 3-0. And as you know, when you're chasing against Denver, you're in trouble.
Yeah, Denver can score in a hurry. That's definitely been their MO all season long. The question for Denver is how well can the Pioneers defend? They really struggled in the first half to defend and gave up way too many goals. The Pioneers have come around a little bit in that area down the stretch here. They've started to defend better. Matt Davis has played really well in net for them. Part of the games were Denver was giving up a lot of the goals. Matt Davis was hurt, and he wasn't playing. I know David Carl believes that the issues in goals allowed early in the season was not a goaltending issue, that it was a team defensive issue. He said the team was giving up too many chances. It's not like the goalies have suddenly played way better. It's that the guys in front of them have played a lot better. So we'll see it tonight because St. Cloud State's another team that has the ability to score in the hurry, and we saw that against Western Michigan in game 3. The Huskies were able to put that game away early.
We got about a minute, Brad. Over under on the number of media folks that are at the first game posting crowd shots when the game faces off and there's about 10,000 empty seats in the building.
Good question. I do think we're going to see a great crowd, though.
I hope so.
I think North Dakota will bring fans. I think Omaha fans are pretty excited about it. I think we'll see a decent atmosphere in the building for these games. That being said, I can see why they went to home site.
Yeah.
There is the chance in the future that we might have a frozen face-off with CC, Denver, Arizona State, and Western Michigan. And all of a sudden, then everyone is sending the crowd shots. And that's something you just, I think they're heading off a potential scenario like that. So I understand the move. At the same time, I think we're going to have a great frozen face-off this year.
I hope it's great. I'm looking forward to watching it from afar. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Perfect. Thanks, Bruce.
Brad Schlossman, Grand Forks Herald, GrandForksHerald.com, also at TheRinkLive.com. You'll be covering both games for North Dakota, well, maybe both games. He'll be at the frozen face-off this weekend, Omaha-North Dakota face-off. At 4 o'clock. 10:50, wrap it up. Usher in the weekend next on KDAL.
The Bruce Siski Show.
We've been through this before.
Weekdays at 10 on KDAL.
That'll do it for the week. We're back on Monday. Recap all the happenings of the weekend. We'll talk some Timberwolves as well. Our dear friend Alan Horton from the Timberwolves Radio Network, one of the original friends of the show. We'll recap their weekend home games. Cleveland tonight, Golden State Sunday, both live. Here on KDAL, get you set for NCAA hockey and opening day baseball next week on the radio show. But right now, it's time to get ready for the weekend, right, Daniel?
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no, well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FB-FM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.